Before we actually get into that reminder tonight, we're going to be having communion at the end. That's a great way to bring our time together to a close as we think about the church and begin the year. Also, just to let you know, next Sunday evening, you're going to want to be here. We're going to be watching the first part of the Gospel of John. There's a DVD in the life of Jesus that basically walks through the Gospel of John. And we're going to watch an hour and 15 minutes of that next week. So you can adjust. It'll be an hour and 15 minutes next Sunday evening. We're watching this. Part of the reason for this is we're going to be getting back into our series in the Gospel of John this year that we've been working on now for quite a while. We'll be in John chapter 9 when I start preaching again. And I thought it'd be helpful for us to watch John chapters 1 to 8, the DVD of that. It's very well done. I think you'll really appreciate that and be challenged by it. So that's next Sunday evening. You plan to be back for that. All right. Well, as I begin this year's State of the Church address, and I've had the privilege to do this now each year since I've been your pastor, I look back and then look ahead. And this year, I want us to think about a verse to create a context for our reflections. And the verse is Psalm 26 and verse 8. So if you'll go in your Bibles to Psalm 26 and then look at verse 8, this is what you will see. This is David making a very personal and revealing statement. Psalm 26, verse 8, where he says, "I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells." I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Now, let's break that apart. He begins and says, "I love the house where you live, O Lord." He's thinking about the tabernacle. For in his day, that was the house of God. That's where God dwelt. And he says he loved that place. He loved going to Israel's place of worship. Why, David? What made the tabernacle so special that you loved that place? Well, he tells us what made it so special and why he loved it, he says, is it's the place where your glory dwells. Now, think about that. At mere appearances, it was just a great big tent. That's all a tabernacle was. But David knew better. What made this structure so special, so attractive, so worthy of his devotion was the presence of the glory of God. The glory of God is the demonstration or the manifestation or display of the very character and essence of God. God, of course, is a spirit. You can't see him. But God is a revealing God, and he reveals himself through his glory, which is demonstrated in specific ways or different of his attributes. You can't see God. You can't touch God. But the invisible God exists, and he makes known his essence in the expression of, and this is the word the Bible uses, his glory. In David's day, that glory was manifested in the tabernacle. It happened, of course, in dramatic fashion on the day that Moses set up the tabernacle when there was this brilliant display of light in that structure. But the reality is that that glory of God, though it wasn't demonstrated we might say supernaturally like it was when it was first set up, was there every day for a person who had eyes of faith to see it, like David. And so when a man of faith like David went to the tabernacle, he saw the glory of God. How was that the case? Well, when he looked at the priests in action, or when he watched the animal sacrifices, or when he smelled the incense, he actually saw God's holiness and grace being declared. Every time he went to the house of God, he was reminded that God is a revealing, reconciling, restoring God who desires for undeserving people to know him and be in a relationship with him, and he made a provision for them so that could happen. "I love that place," says David. It's no wonder that in the next psalm, Psalm 27, verse 4, he says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." David says his highest ambition in life, his primary desire, was to be in that place where God manifested his glory, to dwell there, to gaze upon God's beauty there, to seek God there. Now, at this point, you ought to be thinking, okay, nice, but what does that have to do with the state of the church? In my estimation, it has everything to do with the state of the church. Now follow me. If you wanted to see the glory of God in David's day, you went to the tabernacle. In his son's day, Solomon built the temple, so if you wanted to see it in his son's day or for centuries after that, you went to the temple. That's where you saw the manifestation of God's presence. What about today? We don't have a tabernacle. We don't have a temple. Where can we see the glory of God? Well, when you come over to John chapter 1 and verse 14, you read this statement, and it gives us a clue to the question. John 1, 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, says the NIV. The phrase could be translated, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is amazing. John the Apostle, a man who in his early years of life did go to that temple and did see the glory of God as it was demonstrated in all the sacrificial system, here says, years later in his life, that he saw the glory of God manifested, demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the glory of the one and only, says John. That is the glory of God. Now, I want you to see the connection. What was it that thrilled David? The tabernacle. The glory of God did is manifested in the tabernacle. What thrilled John? The glory of God, which was manifested in the living tabernacle, Jesus Christ. So if you want to see the glory of God today, just look at Jesus Christ. Jesus embodies the glory of God. Jesus radiates the glory of God. Jesus manifests the glory of God, or to use Hebrews 1:3 language, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. You say, okay, that's wonderful. It's great to know that God manifests his glory in the face of Jesus, but how does that help us today? Jesus returned to heaven, so the glory of God returned to heaven with Jesus, didn't it? I mean, how can we see the glory of God if Jesus is in heaven now? Where can we look to see this amazing display of glory? And the short answer is, you can look in two places, can't you? You can look in the Word, and you can look at the church. The Word is the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. You look in this book, and you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And the church of Jesus Christ truly is called the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. I mean, think about that. Jesus returned to heaven, but he calls this organism called the church his body. So you look at the church and you can see the very manifestation of the glory of God. Paul associates the themes of glory and the church and Christ in one verse in Ephesians 3:21 when he says, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus." And then he concludes that statement by saying, throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. In other words, it's not just for the first century. This is for all generations that glory and Christ and church come together. So David says he loved the house of God because it's the place where his glory dwells. This side of the cross, we can say the same thing, I believe, about the church. To the degree that the church portrays Christ accurately, and it does so when its members are living in accordance with the Word of God, then the church is manifesting, it's putting on display the glory of God in this world. Or, to put it another way, in this present age, God is manifesting his glory, the glorious display of Christ in and through his church, which is his body. So we can say, I love the house where you live, O God, for it is the place where your glory dwells. And we can be thinking about the presence of Christ in his church. Peter picks up on that thought in 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and says that as followers of Christ, we are being built into a spiritual house. So, there are many reasons why you and I ought to cherish the church of the living God. Perhaps none greater than this one. When we are in church, we get to see the glory of God up close and personal. This is staggering to think about. Now, if that's the case, then we ought to be asking ourselves a question. And it's the question I lay before you tonight. What is God doing to put His glory on display in our midst? This is what He's all about. He's a God who exists and manifests His glory. Tabernacle, temple, person of Christ when He was in the world, and now through the body of Christ, the church. He's a God who manifests His glory, the display, again, of his character and His essence. So what is God doing to put His glory on display at Wheelersburg Baptist Church? I must confess, and I am convinced, that we far too often miss the display of His glory in the church because we're not looking for it. And really, that's how this works. Sometimes He's doing it and we don't see it because we're not looking for it. Far too often, I look at the church and I see people and programs and problems and budgets and miss what God is doing through those people and programs and problems and budgets and all the rest that goes along with church life to put His glory on display. So in preparation for this message, I took out a piece of paper and I just started with a question at the top. How did God put His glory on display at Wheelersburg Baptist Church in the last 12 months? And I thought, to be honest with you, I can only think about two things. And I thought, this wasn't going to take very long. I'm going to need another verse or something here. And then I just started thinking about it. And I filled what will be way too much for one message here tonight. When I started thinking about, the list just kept growing and growing. I started thinking of things I'd forgotten or overlooked, things that God had done in the past 12 months to manifest His glorious presence to us. The manifestation of His generosity, of His wisdom, of His grace, of His mercy, of His power. Brothers and sisters, we're so prone to miss the display. It is there to see. To change the metaphor to another biblical one, we're talking about seeing the glory of God in the church. Psalm 19:1 that we referred to this morning says that the heavens declare the glory of God. So every night we walk outside when the sky is clear and the heavens are declaring the glory of God. But if you'll be honest with me, how many nights do you walk outside to take your dog out or to turn off the light or whatever you do outside and you didn't see the glory of God when it was shouting at you the whole time? Well, that's what happens, I think, with the church. God is absolutely shouting to us, declaring what He's like, His glory, in the church. And so often we don't see it because we're not thinking about that declaration. You look in the...